This is HMS All Access.
Welcome to HMS All Access, episode 25, your backstage pass to Holmberg's Morning Sickness. I'm your host, Charlie Wolf, and on this week's episode, we talk about fanny packs, sportsmanship, and selling back parts of America. We go back in time with another edition of This Week in HMS History, and John talks about Chris Cornell. Let's get to our first clip.
I have to talk to my daughter about sportsmanship because
she's terrible.
Well, they won the soccer game and they do the hand thing.
Yeah.
Loser.
She did?
Yeah.
Whoa.
That's low. That's hillbilly.
That's a couple of game suspension.
That's the kid who there was a kid who got kicked out of Little League because he had a tack in his hand.
And imagine him laughing in the back.
Oh, it's funny. But this kid had a tack in his hand and slapped the good players harder and the tack would go into the palm of our hands.
Good game.
Ow, what the hell was that? That kid's got a tack. And he drops it in the infield, and sure enough, it was a gold tack.
That's another level.
It's the end of the season anyway. Oh, yeah, I know, but that's what she's heading for. I'm sure he started as a six-year-old going, loser.
With her.
Yeah. Did the other girls cry? Did she at least make someone cry? Then it was all useless.
Well, they were on the visitor side of the field. I don't know if any parents heard it, got mad.
Maybe. That's great and awful.
Imagine you on the other side. Your daughter.
Yeah, I didn't know.
Oh, my God.
And the coach and the other dad's kids going, loser.
Oh, you had
loser.
To be told? Well, our coach came over. He's like, he was laughing. He's like, she's calling them losers in the line. I'm like, oh, God.
Do you know what I bet happened? I can almost pinpoint when this occurred. She sat back while Drunky McDrunks-a-Lot watched the Blackhawks win a series.
Oh, no.
And at the handshake at the end of the series, he's like, loser. And they're showing.
She picked up on it somewhere.
They're showing Taves.
Definitely
and
not from mom.
I guarantee
you. I guess it could be.
The poker game at the house or something.
No. It had to be a lineup of handshakes.
Yeah.
And it only happens in hockey. And the drunken
World
runs.
Series, maybe?
When they beat up somebody in a series on their way to the Stanley Cup, I guarantee you, when Kane's going through that shake, that glorious scene of sportsmanship that only hockey has of the handshakes. Loser. Go home, loser. And she's like, yeah.
Whenever they play the Blues, yeah. I tend to do that.
It's sweet.
So I wanted to talk about sportsmanship. Eric, you were talking about Kalen going through and calling all the people in the handshake line loser.
Awesome and awful.
Which is great. I think sportsmanship's kind of overrated, honestly.
Do you?
Yeah,
Sportsmanship's necessary, though, you little fuck.
I'm not saying it's not necessary. Yeah, I didn't say that. I said it was overrated.
How so?
It's just people make too big of a deal
out
of it.
In what way, though? Give me an example of when they made it a big deal.
Where it's like...
Like if a guy storms off the court in a big fat baby fit like Russell Westbrook doing, and putting his team in a real shitty spot of like, everybody's trying to shake hands, say, we'll get you next game. But he kept storming off the fence. Everybody's like, what a dick. You know, he can't even lose. You go out there with it. If you can't accept the fact that there's a winner and a loser, and sometimes you're the loser, and you throw a big baby fit every time you lose, you're a child. You're an infant. I agree with that. Yeah. You can't, and you're putting your other teammates in a really bad spot because of
sure.
Like, look.
You want to see them be competitive.
Right.
You know, it'll piss fans off when you see them out there joking around
and stuff.
But you also don't want them to lose it. Like
I don't
that.
Want them to like the competition while the game's going on, but stay within the boundaries of the rules. But after the game's over, it's like, look, handshakes, whatever, fist bump, that's great, good job. At least express the fact that I recognize there was a chance that I could lose this game. Sportsmanship is bad winning also.
Sure.
Like being a bad winner has more to do with it. But like what Eric's daughter's doing is...
Awesome.
It's just classically cool, but also awful.
No,
it's got to be stopped.
Teach her
that. Man, is it fucking funny.
Yeah, I don't want her to be like that.
No.
I love it when she's out there and she's competitive and she's battling and stuff. You know, but she's six, too. I mean, sometimes she'll be staring at grass, for God's sakes. But to hear that was kind of cool, but I also have to talk to her and be a parent and be like,
sure,
don't do that. Yeah. Just come back here and then you can say
think it. Use your indoor voice. Don't say those things out loud to the losers.
Here's the thing, though. I think in professional sports, I think that's where I believe that sportsmanship is the most overrated. I want to see some bad winners and losers because I feel like that's better storylines.
Yeah.
It intensifies rivalries.
Well, that's what's ruined ESPN.
And that's what
TMZ.
I think is... I think that's funny, though. Like, it's all entertainment to me. Like,
would
I don't
you
care
feel it's
if
entertaining if you're the guy who lost and dude across from you is dry humping your leg and going, Charlie is a motherfucking loser. I hate that Charlie because he's a loser. And you're like,
would
wow.
You sure, just chalk that up to entertainment?
You'd be like, that's entertaining.
Well,
that's
if it was like against me and I was in the NFL?
You were against you at all.
Against me at all?
In any regard.
Like you'd think he's rubbing it in.
Guy's fucking rubbing it in.
You'd be pissed.
Terrible loser.
Yeah, it would suck. I mean, it's not fun to be on the receiving end of it, but...
No, but you still like it.
I don't know. I guess it's
you
just like,
find
I got
it
beat.
Yeah.
Like,
you got beat, and you accepted that as a man, and you tipped your cap to the guy who beat you, and he rubbed it in.
Yeah, then that guy's an ass, but it's still like...
So it's not really
overrated.
That's
what we're saying. They're assholes.
It wasn't entertainment, I guess, for me at that point, but it was probably entertaining for someone else. And I guess there are limits, obviously. I'm just saying that, like, and I understand that it's classless, and it's, like, rude and whatnot, and it's
like
poor
it.
Sport. I just think it's kind of funny and entertaining.
Oh, it's really funny.
So, right, yeah, that's where I'm coming from, where I just think, like, okay,
D-hole.
It's hilarious.
Really entertaining, but it's got to be stopped. It's acceptable at her age.
There's a reason.
Well, yeah, she doesn't know any better.
She doesn't know better. And there's a reason we were all laughing about it.
Sure, it's hilarious. It's also awful.
But if some, like, kid on the other team just started breaking down because of it and got real upset. Really,
that makes it better.
I mean, it would still be really funny. Almost like they started to cry. But that's
the wrong way to go.
Now, if they're 15 and she's still doing it, and kids
that's
are like, really upset.
You got a problem. You got an asshole.
Because the other kid can't punch her.
Right.
Because then he's the bad guy.
Well, that's what I'm saying is, like, the line for me is, I guess, you know, I think it's more like when it becomes a professional sport and it becomes that entertainment factor, that's where I'm more. I don't care as much
but
about the sportsmanship
WWE.
As much. In a way, and there's a reason that I don't know. I don't follow the WWE, but there's a reason that's why it's so popular.
But the whole point of it is that you break all the taboos and be a classless jerk and you become a heel or a hero.
Sure.
And so...
I think sports needs those, though.
I do, like, and those it naturally happens.
Now, what about this, John? You have quite a successful radio career here, and you're not... the most, I guess,
fuck you,
the
Charlie.
Best winner when it comes to killing other morning shows. You kind of like to rub it in.
That's great.
What do you think about
that? Because fuck
is
them.
It?
Yeah.
Okay.
Fuck them. They're trying to take my money. That's different.
I see what Charlie's trying to do.
I do too.
He's
but it's not
going to
work
sport.
Because it's not a sport. It's
I'm not
business.
Saying, okay.
It's like war.
But like, there's good winners and good losers and everything.
No, sports are different. There's no sportsmanship in business. It's a go fuck you world. And they'd say go fuck you to me, so I say go fuck you out loud.
HMS All Access Podcast 1.
Gadsden Purchase, our biggest error ever. Honestly, what's come from it?
Some good acreage.
What have we done with that? We have Tombstone and the Carlsbad Caverns.
Yeah, it's all over it. Trash.
Yeah. That's no way to talk about those people. It's, you know, just they're still human beings.
Just saying.
Tucson. No, we've got nothing. Nothing has ever gone. Thank God for the Gadsden Purchase, or that would have never been ours. Name it.
They have nice hiking down there.
Good golf courses.
We got plenty of good hiking.
A couple of nice resorts.
Do they?
Yeah.
I've heard. You don't have any of those up here? That would make you forget about
nice
it immediately
here.
If
I'm
it gave
telling
it back.
You what's
how often
down.
Are you heading down there to the Gadsden Purchase line to golf? 0 times a year.
Maybe once.
In your life?
No.
Somebody said Gadsden Purchase, that means the border of Mexico would be the Gila River. You sure nothing good came from that? I'd be fine with that. You should be closer here, but, you know, move the line. I say, move the line. Give the Gadsden back. What do we got? Juarez over New Mexico out of that deal? Maybe a little piece of San Diego or something. I don't know how far over it went. Give San Diego back. I'm fine with that.
Yeah, that cuts off a lot of
good
the bottom half of Arizona.
Yeah. What's down there that's...
Maricopa
that's,
would be gone.
Oh, thank God. This is all
Yuma,
good.
Yuma, Tucson, Sierra
all
Vista.
All of it's good.
That bottom corner in New Mexico.
Yeah, I'm starting to lean John's
way. Yeah, there's nothing that came out of the Gadsden Purchase worth anything.
It takes
your
a lot of
be
tax
okay.
money out. We keep Las Cruces.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
El Paso's right on the border there.
Yeah, it skirts under Las Cruces and starts to go back towards Mexico there at the end. Gadsden Purchase was a mistake.
You were talking on the air today about just selling back certain parts of America.
Mm-hmm.
You know, giving the back, like, you know, what do we need the Dakotas for? Trying to sell those back.
Yeah.
So we're selling basically states and then a couple, like, just individual cities or just chunks that we don't want.
Things that are just, they've been
chunks of territory we don't want.
Look, there's certain types of cities we've tried and they're a failure.
Mm-hmm.
Cleveland is one of them. Boston's one of them.
Cleveland stays. Come
Cleveland
on.
Cleveland doesn't stay. Cleveland is
as long as
Cleveland
King
is one
James
of America's
is there.
Like Cleveland's one of America's acts. You can still have the teams. Look in Europe. They play sports cross borders.
We already play Canadian teams.
You act like we're eliminating the entire thing.
Yeah,
we're not eliminating shit.
Eliminating.
We're just not paying for it anymore.
Yeah.
And if
all
Cleveland
right.
can't figure out its fucking own way, it's time to kick them out of the
Detroit.
Net. Detroit's done. I don't care if Detroit knows we're not paying for it. We can do that on the sly.
I don't think we even need all of Michigan.
Michigan
like,
could
seems,
go away.
Other than Detroit, what else is there?
Is Michigan part of the Louisiana Purchase?
No.
Was that didn't
the
go
Louisiana Purchase is big time. That's the only
That's
thing.
Huge.
Is it was major. So it,
it
was
doesn't
like
go that far north.
800,000.
Oh, yeah,
800,000 square miles. It got us, I think, chunks of the Dakotas, a little bit of Texas, but mainly it was like Arkansas, Missouri,
Louisiana,
Kansas, and up
parts
in
of
the,
Illinois.
kept the Mississippi River, which was big.
Right, that was ours.
Especially back then for trade purposes back in 1803.
They couldn't control it. So we scooted over just a touch. We don't have to give it back exactly as is. We keep the river perfect for our end.
Yeah.
And then we give back fucking Arkansas.
Sell
Who's going
to
miss
France?
That?
We paid 3 cents an acre for that stuff.
Give it back at 3 cents an acre.
Yeah.
Back the 3 cents now is worth a whole lot more.
Well, yeah. Back then, we would have it would have cost us about $233 million.
Adjusted for
from 2011, basically.
Okay.
So we make a fortune, I think.
If we sold it. If we just got back a few million dollars, what we get back in losing all those citizens is 10 times better. As far as states and everything else, all of it can stay. We sell it to friends. We don't sell it to fucking bad guys. It's not up for grabs. And you put it in the paperwork saying shit's got to stay the same for like 25 years. Like, it's kind of got to adhere to what we're up to.
Okay.
You can't just come in and just radically change
the
government. Assimilate in, and you can work your way in.
I kind of like this.
And we can fuck them up rotten. We take all the nukes out of their areas and say, you start over here. We'll give you some defense.
I just
defense.
Hope
we'll
traveling and crossing borders then became a pain.
It's no different than a toll road. Mm-hmm. It's the Midwest.
I don't know.
The
it's not that bad in Europe.
That's what we say now, but, you know, airport stuff.
It's not that bad in Europe.
Airports, I know. I hope. I mean, it could be an improvement on that side of it, on our side.
It's easier to fly overseas than it is to fly to fucking Las Vegas right now. Standing in that goddamn security line. You go overseas, the passport, you get into a better section, it's less crowded.
That's what I'm saying.
So
it's
better.
An added pain when you're coming back to the States because you got to go
it's
through
a,
the customs.
It's easier.
Why are you trying to ruin our idea?
Yeah, what are you taking Vegas away for?
I'm just working things out here.
You're trying to ruin our idea. I like
I'm
this idea.
International travel is easier. This is my system works. My system fucking works.
Brady's trying to poke holes in it.
I know.
Crossing the T's, dotting the I's. Jeez.
What are you going to do with Arkansas that we haven't already tried? It's a fail. It's a fucking fail.
Dump West Virginia with someone?
Yeah, West Virginia might have to stay.
Cole?
No, because you got too many fucking rowdies in West Virginia that'll take over things, and they'll be like, we're too close to D.C. You got to keep that whole D.C. area in check.
Okay,
so if you give a
sense.
State back to somebody else, they'll be the first ones to take money from ISIS.
You got to have a buffer zone.
Look, if you give West Virginia autonomy, they would side up with ISIS real fast for all the pills. ISIS would come over and go, you guys want pills? We got pills. Fuck yeah, you guys can live here for free pills. And they'll be eyeballing D.C. the whole time while all the West Virginia politicians are all messed out of
here,
their brains.
Burn these couches.
Right. Yeah. Just distract them with four-wheel drives.
Again, you're also assuming that everyone's going to be allies on that.
Oh, they
stuff,
will.
But
France?
You never
They've been
know.
Allies
you
for
never
years.
Know who Greece is who.
For years.
Don't worry but about it. We got France under control. We're the money.
We'll be like Mother England.
Yeah, we'll have strong, and plus everybody inside's a former American. They're not going to even be upset.
NFL will be excited because now they finally
get their national game. And we don't have to fucking have flights to fucking London. 6 a.m. start
every time
times.
You go play the Patriots. Now they're just the England Patriots.
They get excited about going down to Mexico. It's the same shit if we turned Arkansas into France. Yeah, Louisiana Purchase goes away. That's a big chunk of change, too. That's a lot of people that we don't have to pay for anymore. Parse this fucker down.
You're listening to HMS All Access on Podcast One.
It's time for This Week in HMS History, when we turn back the clocks and find a clip from years ago. And this week, we're going all the way back to 2009.
Did you guys watch that thing last night in ABC, the 2020? What would you do? Oh, man, was that great.
Did you see the French thing?
Oh, when they took those American tourists to France and filmed them. They put him in shirts. This is what...
The Romo jersey.
He had a Romo jersey, but they went to a restaurant in Paris to see what people think of the ugly American tourist. And they had two shirts that said Bush in 08. Both of them, they wore cowboy, you know, the Dallas Cowboy hats, and they're just loud. And everybody in France is just in this restaurant is looking at him. And this lady's from Germany, and she goes, I can't believe they're wearing those shirts. I mean, I'm German. That's like wearing a shirt that says, I like Hitler. Like, it's not that. He's not that bad. Bush and Hitler aren't in cahoots. They're not, but they think that of Bush. So these two were just brutally loud and, they ordered, the lady put her feet up on the table.
And they scream, woo!
Yeah, every time something good happens, woo-hoo! That tower over there looks like the one in Vegas. I think the one in Vegas is bigger, though. It was just hilarious.
It doesn't take much to be loud over there.
But they were basically pretty nice about it and said that it seemed like an exaggeration. But the one before that, where they'd have two non-English speaking Mexican people go into a restaurant. They're actors, go into this deli in New Jersey, and the guy behind the counter is an actor. And the guy behind the counter won't serve them because they don't speak English, and they just wanted to see, because he's like, No. No, I don't speak Mexican. I'm not going to serve you. You come to our country, you speak English. And they're like, they all they want is coffee. And then all the other people in the restaurant, like, at first, they're you need to leave. And then a few people are like, yeah, kick him out of here. They're like happy about the way the guy's treating him. But almost 50% of the people in there through this whole test stood up and said, hey, you're being an a-hole.
Mm-hmm.
Knock it off. Give them their coffee. You don't know that they're here illegally, which surprised me because I figured most people would want to stay out. But then again, it's New Jersey where they involve themselves in everything. I'd like to see that test done here.
Oh, no.
I would like to see that. I bet you it would be about 90% of people just going, jeez, quietly. That guy's an asshole. I'm getting out of here.
HMS All Access. HMS All Access Podcast 1.
Well, we've been talking about, like, even off the air just now, you two were discussing the merits of a fanny pack as a man.
Okay, you were in the conversation.
Well, I was
too.
In
don't
the conversation.
Put that on
I was
radio.
In the conversation of the man with the purse, hold the woman's purse, right? And a purse is a woman's choice. You carry that around. That is your choice. That is your accoutrement. If you had uncomfortable high heels on, you would never kick them off and say, wear these for me. That is part of what you're doing on a daily basis. But then you guys started to talk about fanny packs for men.
And I asked a question. Who was the guy?
It?
Who was the guy that ruined
I'll tell you
the
who ruined
pack?
It. The first guy who wore a fanny pack.
Now, wait
I
a minute.
I don't know. There yeah. was a run of fanny packs.
All I was saying
was
is that it's very practical.
First guy did it.
It's,
but again, it's as a man.
It's just out of fashion.
Because
so.
You still see them every once in a while.
But sure, my dad wears
ourselves.
One.
I know. But what's in it?
And everything. His wallet. And
chapstick.
He's,
and
I must be like him in that regard that I just hate stuff in my pockets.
Yeah, I don't like things in my pockets
giant keychain.
Yeah, I hate all that crap in my pockets. So I would love to have something like that, but I would never wear it.
It's the invention of the cargo short
it's
that
taboo.
Changed that. You have cargo shorts.
That's but now those are going out
I know,
fashion.
They're not cool. I don't care. I will always remain a cargo short lover. People can laugh at me.
So then I'm really screwed because I'm looking at the shorts that are in style and they have crappy pockets.
But yep. I think the fanny
shallow
pack.
Shallow pockets.
Shallow.
Yeah.
There's
oh, yeah, no, I don't like those.
So what are we supposed to do out. As guys?
Fanny packs to me are an admission of having too much crap and a disorganized situation. That's what I see.
Like
when I have it on, I'm like, God, there's too much stuff going on here.
Wallet and keys alone.
We used to say phone keys gum.
Phone keys, gum. Right. That's really all you need as a man.
And that's three things. I don't want all that crap in my pocket.
But that's your choice for buying too big of a mint box.
Right.
Icebreaker.
And I'll say most guys have too many keys. I'm right now going to go through a key spring cleaning because I got about 6 keys in my ring. I'm like, this is unnecessary. You got 16 keys. That's glorious. That's living life right there with Toledo's
key, office key.
You got 2 fobs and 2 keys.
Yeah.
And yours is, yeah, you got too many keys.
I don't have, yeah.
You need a fanny pack.
I don't know what these are.
And that's the dude life. You just get a keys to where it's not a cumbersome pocket item. Your wallet can't be that monster George Costanza thing. So guys are known more for like, I got a pocket for this, and a small pocket over here for my gum. And if I buy a big mint box, it's my fault. I'm going to be uncomfortable.
Okay, the other thing I wanted to talk about was fanny packs.
Yeah.
You guys just got done talking about this today.
They're very practical.
I don't agree.
Pathetic.
They look
these are
awful.
Not necessary. You should not. How much stuff do you have to carry?
Yeah, see, this is the argument I have. I agree with you.
I already explained it. It was a wallet. You got wallet, keys, phone, mints. Look at all this crap.
The phone's throwing a wrench into it to where fanny packs are like,
phones are becoming larger.
Phones are a wrench.
Because
it is not pocket worthy.
Look at this. Look.
I know.
But
you've got
me,
a why do you have all that stuff?
Yeah, you're wearing some tennis shorts. You
they're just
British
Nike shorts.
Shorts.
They're just regular shorts. And
you got too much stuff on your keychain.
Yeah, your keychain.
This is what your keychain should look like right
now,
here.
Now, that's a businessman's keychain right there.
Right. I've got
that's
my beautiful. Fob, my apartment key. I've got, this is the key to Brady's house, actually.
Wow, nice.
Nice.
Let's
kept
go,
that.
Oh, man.
And then I've got the key to the trailer for our lacrosse equipment. And then, of course, my car key, which has the nice little lock and unlock button on it.
But as a guy, my rule is I got my pocket with my keys, my pocket with my wallet, and I carry my phone in my hand, and I put it down at the closest thing. That is in my wallet. But,
mm-hmm.
Like, I think your icebreakers pack is ridiculous.
Yeah,
it's
well,
oversized.
I don't know.
I agree.
Don't
I just love these damn icebreakers.
No, they're really good. I'm with you on that. But I used to carry those big 17 packs of gum around, shove them in my pocket, and they get all weird and wadded up. I'm like, I got to stop this. And then I would start to do it where I'm like, okay, the gum stays here. It doesn't go in my pocket anymore. I'm not doing that anymore. So then I kind of worked back to what goes in the pocket. So it's keys, wallet, phone in hand. Wherever I am, I put the phone down, and I'm just very
hell,
cognizant
you,
of
you its, hated it so much you got rid of the wallet and went to a baggie for a while.
I had a baggie for a little while just because I didn't like wallet. Because my wallet, I was carrying people's business cards all over. Everywhere I went, people handed me business cards, and I'd stuff them in there. I'm like, God damn it. So I just went to a thing that doesn't hold anything. I had a baggie that's the size of American money, like a sandwich bag. Just wad that up and put it in your pocket.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm just saying if we can make them cool, they are practical and would help.
Make
but
fanny packs
that's
cool.
That's the problem. That is the issue.
I just don't think it's possible, though, to make them cool.
No, it isn't. I don't mind the idea of a backpack if you've got laptops and big shit to carry around. That's okay.
Right, that's what I'm saying is if you're carrying more than like this stuff already, like
fanny
just
packs,
bring a backpack. Don't commit to the fanny pack.
I think fanny packs are I think that's the thing. It's like I think they can be avoided. I think you can just get rid of a couple things and tolerate the nuisance of pocket things.
I don't know. I just feel sorry for the guy who made Mr. Fanny.
Yeah.
I thought he had a good idea.
He's doing all right. Europeans
what
are
a terrible name.
Making a ton of euros.
Mr. Fanny?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Bob Fanny.
What if his name is Fanny Pack?
Dick Fanny.
My name's Dick Fanny Pack.
I think he should have made more money because if that fad would have stayed, then I'd have somewhere to put all my goddamn stuff.
Men kind of rebuked it by saying, I can move some of this stuff. I don't need all this. And you don't have that much.
Is clipping your phone to your belt an alternative for you?
Oh, having it dangle on a carabiner.
Is that in style? I don't know.
I don't
care
about
the style at all. That shit doesn't bother me.
But I know Larry like keeps his phone clipped to his
belt. Those clips. I didn't mean like a carabiner hanging off.
Oh, no.
The belt clip. No, those are dumb.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm not a fan of the clip.
Yeah.
I always, because it bangs
you know
into
why?
Stuff.
It, right. I think guys feel like Batman or something. Like a utility belt.
Right.
Put That's it in your true. Pocket.
That's what the fanny pack is kind
of. It's kind of a utility bag. It's unnecessary. And I think as phones grow bigger, my view could change on the fanny pack because it's like, all right, there's no pocket that can house this.
Right.
So.
Something that I like to do if I am carrying more stuff is I usually just try and put it in Mary's purse.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
You know, like, here, Mary will carry the gum.
Yeah.
Mary can, you know.
The girl carries the gum.
Yeah, Mary can carry. Oh, you know, we have a little ibuprofen. Mary, you can carry that too.
The girl carries the keys. The girl carries the gum because they're carrying luggage. They have a suitcase for your stuff.
Mm-hmm. I basically throw everything in my wife's purse but my wallet.
Same here. Immediately.
When we're out together.
Here
you go.
Dump this in your grocery sack that's completely unnecessary that you've chosen to carry around.
Really? Because I feel naked without knowing my keys, my phone, and my wallet like are in their pockets.
If you're with them, that's the...
Well, often does she run away from you?
Yeah. What, are you afraid she's going to leave?
No, it's never that. It's just I don't want to...
You feel
I don't,
naked?
Whenever I don't have them.
It's obsessive compulsive disorder.
It's different.
Like, you're naked and afraid?
OCD.
Naked and afraid without my keys and my wallet.
Your definition of naked is drastically different than mine.
Yeah, okay.
And you have what's called OCD. You probably should get a pill for that.
I don't think that's OCD.
If you feel nude and your keys are in someone else's possession.
They're not in someone... It's like, okay,
how often do you pat your pants for your keys when they're in Mary's purse?
Not often.
7 to 10 times a minute.
I don't ever put them in Mary's purse.
Why?
Because I carry them on me.
Because you got to know they're there because you'd be nude otherwise.
Well, why would I need
to
put them in?
That is OCD.
That's OCD.
I don't think I trust Mary with my keys at times. She loses a lot of stuff.
How many steps does it take? How many steps does it take? How many steps does it take to get from the kitchen sink to the bathroom, to the kitchen sink, to the bathroom? How many steps does Charlie take? 1, 2, 3. To the kitchen sink, then to the bathroom.
Touch the door handle.
1, 2, 3,
touch the door
off.
Handle 5 times before you open it.
It's OCD.
I flip the lights on and off before every time I enter a room.
And the thing with your dad and the Indians.
Yeah.
You need to go see somebody.
You think so?
You got a lot going on.
I think I'm okay.
Let's talk about your mom.
No, let's not.
No, let's.
Let's flat. Let's not.
No, I want to talk about your mom.
Why?
Because I fucked that girl.
Okay. Thank you for that, John. That's awesome.
You are listening to HMS All Access on Podcast One.
Kind of a interesting day for you guys.
Yeah.
With the passing of
Chris Cornell.
Chris Cornell and everything. And this is the most, I don't know if shook up's the right word, but I haven't seen you guys react this way to a celebrity death before.
It's a stunner. It was one of the, and it's in our wheelhouse. Yeah, it's a weird one. It's definitely because it doesn't seem like there's been a single clue that you've never looked at Chris Cornell and go, it's one of the guys that's just going to drop dead from a drug overdose.
Yeah. Does like Soundgarden rank for you personally as like one of your favorite?
It's up there. They're a top tenner for me. If you give me a Soundgarden record, I pretty much know it. I love it. Yeah, I think they're a great band. I think he's one of the best vocalists, maybe the best.
Yeah, that voice is awesome.
It's amazing and most unique and signature sounds that anybody has ever had. So you can't ignore it. You don't have to like Soundgarden. It can't be ignored. It was one of those things where you're just like, okay, that's a big one right there. Like I didn't understand Notorious B.I.G., but I knew he was a big deal.
Yeah.
And not because he was a big deal culturally, just because there's something that he was doing that was like, maybe it isn't directed at me. I can't relate to it, but I understand this music is different than any other.
You can hear the difference sort of thing. It's almost like, you know, you watch a transcendent player in baseball and sports.
You just know.
You don't have to really know the sport. And, you know, that dude's doing it.
They may
better.
Not be the best of all time, but you look at him and you go, there's something better.
Special.
Yeah, something special about that guy. Now, what I hope, and this will air after we get details as it's being recorded, We don't know the details of his death, but mm-hmm. the latest report was found slumped or laying on a bathroom floor in a hotel in Detroit with a band around his neck. My fear for this is that it was an accident and he was doing the autoerotic asphyxiation. Yeah. Very rarely. I took a couple of criminal investigations classes. Very rarely is a suicide. A band around the neck laying on the ground without the room being in shambles from an attempted hanging. Nobody kills themselves laying on the ground strangling themselves. Your body won't let you do it. So it's pointing, as I've been reading the details now, and hopefully it changes, towards autoerotic asphyxiation. So let this be a public service announcement, Charlie, here at the HMS All Access.
Mm-hmm.
If you're thinking about tying off your neck to beat off, have a spotter or don't do it.
Having a spotter is always a good
idea. Have a spotter because you're dabbling with a very dangerous thing. And it's simply not worth the newspaper reports. Everything you've ever done in life is erased if you're the guy who dies whacking off. Everything is erased. I cannot punctuate that with enough exclamation. That everything you could, if the dude who did smallpox, Jonas Salk, right?
If he did smallpox? I have no idea what his name was.
Smallpox. Yeah. Died masturbating with a rope around his neck. People would be like, did you hear about the guy who cured smallpox? He died whacking off. That's how people, you know, Jonas Salk, the guy who died whacking off, he cured smallpox.
Yeah,
that would be
the first
second thing.
Thing
he did, even though it was ungodly important to the world. Beating off and dying always is your mark.
Who's next when we look at like famous 90s celebrities, I guess?
Fuck, there's a lot out there. But which is the next one that will shock us if it happens early? Like when Tom Hanks dies, people lose their shit. He died, people lose their shit.
Yeah.
Especially if he died jerking off or hanging himself. I mean, imagine, put it in context like that. Tom Hanks, much bigger star than Chris Cornell, but in the same arena of iconic status. If he just died and they found him dead in a hotel room
With a pull string wrapped around his neck.
Yeah, right. And you're like, what the fuck? He autoerotics himself on the Woody pull string. That's terribly funny. I would like that. There's a snake in my hand.
Oh, my God. That's in my hand.
That would be really weird to get the news that Tom Hanks dropped dead in the middle of the night. Let's make a pact, you and me.
Okay.
If either of us, on the off chance, find the other laying slumped over somewhere with something around our neck and our dicks out,
okay,
pull the other guy's pants up a little bit.
Sure.
And start writing a fake suicide note. And I'll do the same for you because I don't want to be remembered as that guy.
Okay.
Leave a suicide note.
I like that
Leave
idea.
A suicide,
actually, yeah.
Have a fake suicide note for a friend. And let's
have
make
a
that,
fake suicide note for all of your friends.
For all your friends. And just have them in your wallet. And then, I walked in on Mark and he's dead from masturbating.
Oh, God.
Oh, I can't have that.
Just keep it in your wallet.
And then you go through your notebook of fake suicide notes for friends and plop that down. It's like, that's nice. Or write your own fake suicide note. Always have it on you. It's kind of like a driver's license.
Okay, it's like
that
a fallback
way,
plan in case it's
if
like,
you
oh.
ever get if you ever do anything dumb and die doing it,
yeah.
it looks like a suicide. Now, we found a note in his pocket. Oh, my God. He did this because he was sad.
I mean, think about it, though. We just talked about this yesterday about having too much stuff in your pockets and
that's
fanny
true,
pack
but it's a
stuff.
Note,
that's
for
another
fuck's
thing
sake.
To
it's
carry.
Paper. Please, it's paper. if it's too, this paper's just overloading me. You're a fucking waif. You're going to blow away in the wind. It's no big deal. Fake suicide note for yourself. And if you find a friend in a precarious dead situation, you write a suicide note for him. And a suicide is bad, but it's not half as bad as being known in your grave as the guy who whacked off wrong and died from it.
Yeah, that's kind of...
I don't want to ever... Well, actually,
no one
I
wants to
mind.
Be remembered that way.
I think I don't care.
You don't care anymore?
I think it would be pretty funny.
So, do you want me to write this note up or not?
Do it, and then the note just write, I may or may not have been trying to kill myself. But or if you find me dead, it's because I was jerking off. And this went wrong. And just pin it to me.
Okay.
He even left a note saying, if this goes haywire, don't feel bad. And then I'll be known for the guy who had the foresight to write a note before I did this, just in case it went bad.
He really understood the risks that came with autoerotic asphyxiation.
If, in fact, this goes pear-shaped, just know I wasn't sad.
That sounds like a good plan, honestly.
I think that's a good idea. So leave suicide notes for friends you find like that. Like if you ever find a friend with a plunger in his ass, leave a note. Say, I slipped cleaning the toilet. I don't know what happened here. A plunger in the ass death, like you went too far with a plunger in your ass. Ugh. It's like you dropped dead because you poked into something else, started internally bleeding. As a friend, you got to come in and go, I'm miserable. Life's been fucking me in the ass for years, and I've had it, so I fucked myself out.
Oh, God.
And then it'd just be a tragic tale instead of a dude who's just fucking smiling. Like,
this is really great.
Plunger, oh. Fuck. Oh, what the?
Oh, God. That got realistic.
And then 2 days later, you're going to get that, no doubt. Oh, shit. He was fucking himself with a plunger again.
Anybody seen Dave in a while?
Yeah. No, he's up in his room last I heard.
Tough day, I guess, for the Rock.
That's right. Oh, thank you. Good way to bring it back around. good close. From guy fucking himself to death with a plunger to tough day. Tough day.
Tough day. Tough day.
Tough day, everybody.
That's it for this episode of HMS All Access. Remember, if you want your questions answered by Eric on the next podcast, you can email me at charlie@98kupd.com. We're also now on iTunes, Stitcher, and TuneIn, so head over there, subscribe, rate, and review. Let us know what you think. If you want anything else, Holmberg's Morning Sickness, or anything 98kupd, you can check out everything at 98kupd.com. Thanks for listening.
You've been listening to HMS All Access on Podcast 1.